Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, 2015. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Doing well. What is today? Tuesday?
Tuesday,
the 16th. Oh, man, that's the best day.
2014, right?
For you, John, yes. Yeah, Tuesday is the best day. That's what I call Tuesday. Anyhow, that other voice you heard was John Martellaro.
Good morning. Nice to be here, John.
And our sponsor this week is lynda.com, the awesome online training company. I'm looking forward to talking about them. But before we do that, Brian, I thought that we could take a look at a very interesting piece you wrote yesterday. The backstory on this is that the Wall Street Journal ran a piece where they made the claim that it's time for Apple to stop making the Macintosh computer. And you had a rebuttal for that.
Yeah, I do. So the piece is written by Christopher Mims. He makes the argument that Apple is stretched thin. Which it is. Apple has not greatly expanded its executive ranks in particular, while it has been expanding its product lines. And of course, we know that Apple's working on a car. Mm-hmm. Johnny Ive is still the guy who's in charge of design. He's got two people that are handling some administrative duties now, but those two guys have been with him all along too. So how many great products can Johnny Ive oversee? We don't necessarily know that question. So Apple is stretched thin. And he also, he basically said that Apple needs to ditch the Mac because it's last year's technology or last century technology. And instead use those same people and resources and efforts and mindshare and all these other things to make the next great thing.
Now, the whole thing about the Mac being last century technology, if Apple should stop making the Mac because it's last century technology, by extension, shouldn't all the other PC makers stop making PCs because they're mm-hmm. last century technology too?
No, because the other PC makers someone can make the money for making PCs. What Mr. Mims is arguing is that this is an industry that no longer matters. The amount of money that Apple makes, which in 2013, Horst, did you actually, how is it?
I always say, did you?
Okay, great. Let's go with that. So in 2013, he figured that Apple was making more money than the top five PC makers combined from just Macs. But Mr. Mims argues that money is inconsequential to Apple at this point, and it's nothing compared to the amount of money that Apple might be able to make if Apple was going to disrupt another market instead. And lastly, I lost my train of thought. Sorry. I hate it when I do that.
And the irony is you are right outside your train station.
It's yes.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I look at the argument that is being made here. And my immediate reaction is, this is crazy. There's no reason for Apple to stop making the Mac. There are far too many things that Apple does that tie into the Mac. But then I try and come up with an argument to support why Apple doesn't need the Mac. And what I come up with is, if Apple gets rid of the Mac, then it does free Apple up to focus on other technologies and other platforms and new markets. But then I come back around to, but if we don't have the Mac, then that means Apple's going to have to put resources into working with other companies to make the tools that we need to develop all of these things for these other platforms that Apple's going to support or break into.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crux of the matter. It's like, what is Apple going to make these things on? They can make them on Windows boxes and Linux boxes? I mean, you know, a big part of what makes Apple special is, part of it is that they're making the tools that they themselves want to use. And you know, Apple uses all of the things that it makes to make other things.
Brian, that's a great point. Suppose Apple hadn't had desktop computers for a while and we were having to develop our iOS software. Forget all the history and the family tree of iOS and Cocoa Touch coming out of OS X. Forget about that for a second. And Apple said, you know, we're having to use these stupid Windows machines to write our iPhone software, and we don't like it very much. We're going to do our own thing, and we're going to do it right. They'd come up with something like the Mac. So you could turn that argument completely around.
Well, so,
you know, that was a good point, Brian.
What? Thank you very much. I appreciate that. The things that Christopher Mims said, all of them are correct. But the problem is that he's trying to lift the Mac out of Apple and look at it as if it is just this standalone thing.
Right,
and it's not.
Not at all.
You know, OS X development goes into iOS, and iOS development goes back into OS X. Of course, they're using, as we just discussed, Macs to do all of the things, the designers, the engineers, the marketing people, the HR people, they're all using Macs. And you can't look at any one thing that Apple does and consider it alone. You have to consider it as part of the whole. But, you know, I closed the piece with, I thought, the most salient piece of analysis and observation. And that's Mr. Mims doesn't understand Apple. He doesn't understand how Apple works, because the Mac will go away someday. You know, we will not have the Mac forever. I just wrote the piece, was it the week, last week, about how Apple's lack of nostalgia is its superpower.
Yes.
But when the Mac goes away, it's going to be because Apple came up with a thing to kill it. And they're going to use Macs to do that. So you don't get rid of the Mac so that Apple can come up with the next best thing, the next great thing. You instead understand that Apple is going to introduce that next great thing, and when it does, the Mac will go away.
Exactly.
That's how Apple works.
I couldn't have said it better myself. That's exactly right, Brian. I love that analysis.
Thank you. You know, I can see the Mac eventually going away in through one of two paths. One path is where Apple makes a clean break and says the Mac is no more, long live whatever replaces the Mac. And the other way is that the Mac continues to evolve just as it has over the past couple of decades and evolves into something else. And at some point they may change the name from Mac, or they may keep that just because of brand recognition. But, and if we look at what a Mac is today compared to what it was when that original computer came out in 1984, these are not the same machines. There are definitely similarities, but the evolution of the computer over the years, I mean, it's been changing anyhow. So,
I think it's pretty iterative. Someone from 1984, if they had been introduced to a Mac, they would find today's Macs, you know, stunning. But I think they would understand what they were.
Right. I agree. And I think whatever
vision
replaces the Mac, it'll be the same thing.
You know, Jeff, I have a vision of one of these days sitting at my desk and coming in and having a 12.9-inch iPad Pro sitting on my desk connected to a 32-inch display that's curved, sitting at my desk, rolling up my sleeves, saying, you know, Siri, I'd like to prepare an article, and just kind of waving my hands a little bit and doing some talking and having magic happen on this display floating in front of me. And it could be a, you know, ninth generation iPad Pro. It could be a Mac, but it's going to be something different.
Yeah. What you're visualizing right now is not a Mac, and it's not an iPad. It's something
right.
else, but it could
right.
have the name of either.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably won't.
Yeah, but it probably won't. It'll be whatever Apple decides to roll with next.
The one thing for sure is that we will evolve, and the technology will get better and better and will become more effective. And whether it's a Mac or not, like you said, doesn't matter.
There you go. And I don't think the Mac is going away. Not for a long time still. So, Brian, thank you for writing that up and offering your clarity that I feel was missing from the Wall Street Journal piece.
Thanks. Yeah, I got one more thing. I'm sorry, one more thing before you, we move on. A lot of people attack this article because they love their Macs, and that's just completely irrelevant. I mean, we love our Macs, but that's not why Apple should keep their Macs.
I agree. But the fact that people attack this piece because they love their Macs, I think is very telling, because people get very attached to their Macs. They feel that they are tools and that they are a part of who they are and not just simply this device that they have to fight to get something done.
Yeah, but people attack when Apple killed the floppy drive, people attack that.
Of course they did. People don't like change.
The mere fact that there was this defense of the Mac to me is not the crux of the matter.
No, it isn't.
The crux of the matter is all the stuff we just spent several minutes talking about.
Yep.
Yes.
Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Lynda.com, the amazing online training company. And what they do is they make these really, really high quality training videos that teach you whatever it is that you really want or really need to know. And they take the videos and they break them down so that instead of you having to watch, say, like 90 minutes straight of something and just being overwhelmed, it's bite-sized chunks where you learn a specific thing and then you can go on to the next. And you don't have to go through these in order if you don't want. So like if you're learning about, say, developing a new WordPress site, and there's something you need to know about working with widgets. Okay, look at the part of the training videos that talk about the widgets, and then go back and look at the other stuff you need, which might be how do I work with a child theme, or it could be anything. And I also love that not only do they have this incredible library with all of this content that you can go through in whatever order you want, it's smart enough to know how far you got into something. So you can be watching a video on how to work with filters in Photoshop on your iPad and then jump over to your Mac and pick up where you left off. I just love that it knows what device you're on and where you were. So you don't have to spend time trying to figure out where in a video you happen to leave off. I think that's just fantastic. Also fantastic, you can get 10 free days of all their content, and there's over 3,000 titles to choose from. So what you need to do, and this is really important because you need to do this, go to their website, lynda.com. That's lynda.com/TDO for TMO Daily Observations. And when you're at lynda.com/TDO, you can sign up for 10 free days. And during those 10 days, you can go through as many videos as you can possibly manage. And yeah, all the content is free for you during that 10-day trial. So even if you're not thinking that you need to have a regular subscription so you can learn new things later on, try out the 10-day trial so that you can at least learn something new for now, and you're not even going to have to spend any money doing it. But I have a feeling once you get into this, you'll see some value in paying for some more content down the road. So anyhow, go to their website, lynda.com/TDO, and sign up for your 10-day free trial. And thank you, Lynda, for being our sponsor this week. Okay, the other thing that I was really interested in taking a look at today was the thing that I stumbled across on Apple's job listings. And it's good to go look at Apple's job listings every now and then because it can give you an idea of where the company is going and what they have planned. And what we found is that Apple is hiring journalistic editors. So people that have been working in the news industry and the blogging industry for several years have a lot of experience, and these people are going to be working on the Apple News team. So Apple News was introduced as an iOS 9 feature, and it replaces Newsstand. And what it is a platform where you can go and get all of this news from all of these different sources. So instead of being something like Facebook Instant News, where there's a specific set of publishers participating, and they are just pushing the content they want, or something like Flipboard, where people are tapping into RSS feeds. Apple News is going to use actual people to curate the content that we see in Apple News. And I think this is really interesting because, like Apple Music, it's going to have a human touch, which gives it the potential to be far more interesting and compelling than a bunch of automated feeds just dumping in.
Jeff, it could be interesting, but I think it's a terrible idea. I have a very bad feeling about this.
Do tell.
Well, first of all, news business is tricky. You have to be neutral. And I don't think it's good for Apple to be in the business of managing news. Second of all, I have this vague feeling that it's one of these experiments like personal websites or Ping or the things that Apple's done in the past and dispensed with. I don't think it's going to endure. I think it's just a trial that can't survive the test of time. And third, I think there might be some news agencies that are all excited about getting their outlet in front of people through Apple. But ultimately, Apple's going to annoy them with constraints and how the news is presented, and it's going to create a new platform. And then news organizations have had a tough enough time trying to get their formats squeezed on iPads and presented to people, and whether they're going to have paywalls or not, and kind of struggling with their own, development of the news. The last thing they need to do is have a third party kind of getting its fingers in the pie. And so for all those three reasons, I just kind of have this uneasy feeling that it's not going to work out very well in the long run.
I disagree.
I knew you would, Brian.
I think that, you could be right. It may be a catastrophe, but I think you're kind of approaching this from the wrong angle, John. This is as I've put it, this is Apple's third generation effort to save the publishing industry, the news and magazine industry, the newspaper and magazine industry. And the first version was these dedicated apps. The biggest one, of course, being The Daily, which was the News Corp dedicated iPad magazine, really well. Newspaper.
Right. Yeah,
that was a failure. Second generation was Newsstand. That was pretty much a failure. And now we have News. Now, by the way, I don't think that Apple is turning into the Microsoft where
Microsoft rule of three?
Yeah. I don't think that's the case. We have a couple of examples of that, but that's still not the norm at Apple. But News is Apple taking the lessons that it learned from these first two rounds and trying a new way of doing it and borrowing from a successful model, which is Flipboard. Mm-hmm. And other companies that have copied Flipboard in the years since Flipboard was released.
Yeah, but Flipboard's the big name.
Right. And because of that, I think that Apple may be able to do this well. And if they don't saddle these news editors with an Apple bias in particular, this could really be something.
Jeff brought that up in the pre-show about how these editors could be under some editorial pressure to deal with news about fantastic new Google products or failed Apple products. Let me turn the tables on you. Suppose Motor Trend and Auto Week and Car and Driver all got into some sort of industry trouble and started folding right and left, and General Motors said, we're going to save the auto industry. We're going to publish the latest and greatest automotive magazine, and General Motors is going to hire editors to write stories about the automotive industry. How would you react to General Motors doing that?
But they're not writing. They're curating. These people are curating.
These
are
just curators.
Yeah, but even the curation process has a taint of decision making.
Well, yes, but we're talking about all of the news and not just computer news. Admittedly, you're.
I know.
I would be very skeptical of GM curating car news, I would absolutely be very skeptical of that. And I think that anyone would be right to be skeptical of Apple curating computer news. Mm-hmm. But they're also going to be curating all the news.
Right. And they're looking for people that have serious experience. Like they want to find journalists that have at least bachelor's degrees, and they'd prefer master degrees, a minimum of 5 years experience, but they'd prefer a lot more, and people that are familiar with the news industry from a traditional standpoint and from a mobile standpoint. So they're looking for people that have a lot of experience and a lot of motivation and are used to having to work outside of the regular constraints.
Why do we think it's a good idea for anybody to be curating news when there are so many news sources out there that we're free to pick and choose from? Doesn't this create kind of a homogenization approach?
There's definitely the possibility for that. However, the trends we're seeing are showing that this is what people want. The people like us, John, that are more than happy to spend time finding just the right RSS reader tool and then go through and curate our own lists to get exactly the kind of news we want, we are a dying breed. And what we're seeing is that services like Flipboard are becoming very popular because they can handle that curation process for us. And and Facebook is totally seeing this because they have started their instant news service. And clearly Apple gets that this is a thing too.
Yeah.
But all of the other services.
I get the feeling, Brian and Jeff, that Apple kind of feels, I think this is a weakness. I think Apple feels like if we can do Macintoshes good and we can do iPhones good, we can do anything good. And I think that's a little bit of hubris that's misplaced.
Well, I'm going to turn that on its head, John. I think that most of the curated news that we see, just as was the case with music, has been algorithm curated.
Yes.
And Apple is saying that there's something that people can do better than algorithms, and that's have taste and see the interesting thing that an algorithm just may not be able to see, and they're trying to apply that to a category that's never had it, which is broad news curation.
What's the business angle? How's Apple going to make money?
It's going to sell more iPads and iPhones and possibly Macs.
And so there's motivation to excite people along a certain lines?
Yeah, and plus I think a big part of Apple's motivation is to help the newspaper and magazine industry.
As surprising as it sounds, I think there is at least a bit of altruism in Apple's plans.
I think that's misplaced. I mean, the next thing Apple's going to do is they're going to say, well, we're having troubles with FDA drug approval, and we have all these great drugs that are not being approved by the FDA,
okay, no,
so we're going to get in our fingers into that too and see if we can accelerate the process. I mean,
That's an exercise in absurdism.
I know. I'm going to the logical extreme of absurdity because it already seems a little absurd to me that Apple would get into this business.
But Apple has been in this business since the iPad came out. This was part of the big sell for iPad behind the scenes in 2009.
I think Apple should create a great platform for people to present their products and create the technology and the interface and the operating system and the facility for people to be entrepreneurs and to create their best work. But for Apple to
Well, they did that, John, and it failed.
Well, I don't think that was the reason why it failed. Building a great platform and architecture was not the reason why the iPad failed. I've written about that. There are other reasons for that.
Jeff was talking about newsstand, not iPad.
Yes, I'm talking about newsstand.
Okay, so, but when these things fail, you have to ask yourself, why are they failing? Is it because we didn't do a good job? And if we just work harder, we can, wring success out of failure. Apple must feel like there were some essential elements missing from the Daily and from Newsstand that they can do better at, and they keep trying at it. And it seems to be kind of, I hate to say it, as we talked about earlier, but it has this Microsoftian sense of, we're going to do this and we're going to make it work. That's my reading.
I think the missing piece that Apple saw after their first couple failed experiments and watching what other people are doing or companies are doing in this space was human curation.
John, I have one last question. I think Jeff's going to yell at us to close it up. But
it's like, you know me.
How do you feel about adolescent proximity to the floral habitat outside your home?
Brian, I'm not going to go there. I have queasy feelings about Apple getting into this curation of news, and I think I have some good reasons for it, and I've stated them, and I'm going to take my stand.
Should they get out? Should they not curate music either?
Next time on TDO.
I think I'm fine with music. I'm fine with music curation, but news has a strong legacy of constitutional rights, independence. This is a difficult area for Apple to get into, especially since so much of the news influences people's opinions about things, and making decisions about what people are going to see is tricky business. And I'd like to let people who have a strong legacy, like the Washington Post and the New York Times, you know, go out and collect the news and have the protections that they need and the experience that they have, and present me with a case and make their case and let me choose to subscribe to their news directly. And I don't want a third person in the middle, just because the perception is that people are not capable of going out and finding the news anymore that they should be looking at. I just have a hole. I can't see how it's going to last. It doesn't strike me as one of those fundamental things that's part of Apple's DNA that is going to endure.
All right. Well, we are over time, so I'm just going to cut us off there. And John, please stay critical of what Apple is doing, because we shouldn't just blindly follow, and questioning is a good thing. So keep it up. And Brian, please feel free to go on telling John that he is wrong. And thanks to both of you for being here today.
My pleasure. I don't know about John.
My pleasure, too.
Okay, John's pleasure, too.
All right. And thank you to Lynda for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website, lynda.com/TDO. Get yourself 10 free days of all the training you can cram into your head. It's absolutely awesome and totally worth it. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.